So Lisa, I had a game of quiet tennis today.
Quiet tennis?
Yeah. It's like regular tennis, but without the racket.
Join us at the For the Master Tom Naugle Memorial Golf Tournament on June 25th at La Fortune Park on the par 3 course. We have an 8:30 a.m. shotgun start. The $85 entry fee supports our youth and adult mission ministries. Sign up at the Connect Center.
Did you know that Christ Church offers academic and music scholarships? Applications are available through a link in the e-note or at the Connect Center. Application deadline is June 13th at noon.
The Stephen Ministers and Congregational Care Ministers of Christ Church have planned a special service of remembrance for Sunday, June 5th at 3 p.m. in the Janville Chapel. The service is intended to provide an opportunity to remember and reflect on the lives of those who have gone before us. This time of quiet reflection includes prayer, music, the devotional, and the lighting of the remembrance candle. For more information, contact Pastor Jim.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my path is rough and steep, but beauteous fields lie just before me. God's redeemed, the vigils keep. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over. From every trial, this body rests in an old churchyard. I'll drop this cross of self-denial, and I'll go singing home to God. I'm going there to see my Savior. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a going over Jordan. sudden going over home. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm just a going over
Hello, my name is Pastor Jim Stillwell, and I'm glad that you have joined us online today. The message for today is called God is Near the Brokenhearted, and I will be preaching from Psalms 34. The background of Psalm 34 is found in 1 Samuel 21 and 22, where King Saul was jealous of David and threatened his life, forcing David to live on the run. In one of the loneliest times for David, he sought refuge with the Philistines. When they realized who David was, he pretended to be insane to protect himself. David did escape and went to a cave for refuge. The scripture, Psalms 34, 1 through 8, and 17 through 19. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Sometime during the spring or summer of 2020, I asked God to show me what was really going on in the world. I knew that there was evil out there. I knew that we were in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare. But what God showed me was overwhelming and heartbreaking. We all probably lost a loved one in the last few years. I lost a close friend, and we also lost many church members as well. It has been a very stressful and trying couple of years, has it not? I also came to realize that there was more evil, more corruption, and more suffering in the world than I had ever imagined. The sex trafficking, the abuse of children, mental illness, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, suicides, depression, divorces, domestic violence, racial tensions, sudden deaths of loved ones, and much, much more. I saw a country that was divided. I saw the church divided. I can go on, but I think you get what I'm trying to say to you today. Some say that we are in the end times. We could be, or this just could be a foreshadow of what is to come. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4 says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." This sounds pretty much like what is going on today, right? However, this is not what my message is about today. So let's go back to David. In the Psalms, David, a powerful warrior, a man after God's own heart, was on the run. He let fear get the best of him. I think we can say that fear got the best of a lot of people in the last 2 years. But as Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but gives us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So the scripture I read is how David handled his fear and how we as a country, as a nation, as an individual can deal with our own suffering and with our brokenness. David was anointed by God, and even he feared for his life. I am going to talk to you today about some of the ways that David dealt with his fears and how we can use the same approaches for how we can deal with our grief and issues. Right out of the start of Psalm 34, David praises the Lord. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises." David wrote about half of the Psalms, and as you read through them, you see very quickly that David suffered a lot. People were against him and came after him continuously, and you will also notice that he is also constantly praising and worshiping God. In Psalm 119, 164, he said, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws." In Psalm 103, 1 through 4, he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." Why is praising God important? It conveys to God that we love and trust him, and most of all, because he is worthy of our praise. We may not understand a lot of what we are going through, but through our troubles, through our pain, we know he is with us. Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We all praise God in different ways, do we not? We can simply lift up our hands and praise him by singing and worshiping. You can praise him with your words. You can praise him by your actions, with your dancing and with your instruments. And you can praise him in fellowship with others. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." The second thing David did was prayed or sought the Lord. He sought God through prayer. Verse 4 says, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." David found comfort and healing from his fears as he praised God and sought God in prayer. Prayer is a vital part of my life. It seems like I am constantly seeking God. Even when I'm not praying, my mind is on Christ. People who know me know I love to serve. Barbara and I both love to serve. We were part recently of the prayer team last month that met at the Mabee Center when Mario Morella had a miracle service. We were on the prayer team with 75 other volunteers, and we're down below praying for people to give their life to the Lord and for healing. That Friday night, there were 12,000 people at the Mabee Center, and they estimated about 3,000 people gave their life to Christ, and countless healings were reported. It was an evening that Barbara and I will never forget. I also volunteered a few weeks ago at Nightlight Tulsa and was on the prayer team there as well. We prayed with some of the homeless that night, but staff and volunteers also came to us for prayer. It was a powerful evening. You'll hear more about Nightlight Tulsa next week, which is Faith Promise Mission Sunday. So let's go back to David. David continued in verse 5, "Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles." When you are praising God, and when you lift your concern and troubles to him, it can brighten you up. It can radiate your soul and spirit. You are filled with joy. At the end of the day, Barbara and I listen to praise music. We take about 30 minutes before we go to bed and give our day to God. It gives me joy and peace as I go to sleep for the night. When I first read verse 8, it caught my attention. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him." I love this verse and pondered what David meant by "taste and see that the Lord is good." The Hebrew word for good says intrinsically good, which means it is by nature or in itself. God is good by his nature, or God is the definition of goodness. So when you taste, you experience the flavors of food, right? And you see that it is good. In the same way, you experience God. If you are intentional about praising, praying, and reading scripture, you experience and see that God is a good God, and you can put your trust in him. Trust is a big part of healing. You lift up your praises and prayers to God and trust that he is good and you can take refuge in him. This reminds me of a very powerful psalm, Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Another scripture about trust is Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Did you catch that? For those whose minds that are on God and trust him will have perfect peace. If you look up the Hebrew word for perfect peace, you will find shalom, shalom. When you are broken and don't see any hope, peace, that perfect peace seems unattainable, right? But it's not. Focus on Christ and put your total trust in him for that perfect peace that only he can give you. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." Next is God will rescue you in your time of trouble. Verse 17 through 19 says, "The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." God promises to be our source of power, wisdom, and courage, helping us through whatever our troubles are. We may not totally understand them, but we have hope that if nothing else, we have eternal life with him forever. That should comfort all of those who believe in Christ. I mentioned earlier the broken or brokenhearted. You could have lost a spouse or a loved one recently. You may have a family member that has been broken. You may have gone through a divorce. You could be brokenhearted yourself, or your heart may be breaking for somebody else. As I have said, I asked God to show me what was going on in the world. One of the things he led me to was sex trafficking. He put in my sight countless articles, interviews, and documentaries that defined and expressed the magnitude of this issue. It just broke my heart. He also led me to the Demand Project, which is an organization here locally that deals with human trafficking. They were here at the Christ Church earlier in the month for First Wednesday. I'm on their prayer team praying for the kids, the staff, and the volunteers because they are constantly under attack from the enemy. God is near or close to those who are brokenhearted. Yes. He is near to those who are broken, but unfortunately, we don't always cry out to him. We are lost in our grief. We are lost in our addictions. We are lost in our pain. We just don't think about crying out to God, or we could just be mad at God and blame him for all our troubles. But did you know that Jesus weeps for us? There's the story of the death and resurrection of Lazarus in John 11. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha and a friend of Jesus. He didn't weep because of the death of his friend Lazarus because he knew that he was going to be resurrected, but he wept because of the broken hearts of Mary, Martha, and other mourners. Jesus also weeps for us and is close to those whose hearts are broken and whose spirits are crushed. I haven't talked about a crushed spirit, But a crushed spirit means that you could feel as if you have reached your limit. You may feel hopeless and have no way out of your situation. At that point, you may even make bad decisions, decisions that you cannot come back from. So what do you do? So let's go back to David. David praised God, prayed to God, trusted God, and he also had a community. Let's go to 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. He became their commander. About 400 men were with him. David had a community around him that helped each other. They gathered around David for comfort and encouragement and leadership. We need a community as well. The church is part of our community. Also, your family and your friends can all be a comfort and encouragement to you in your time of distress and grief. I'm sure that you all have stories about how someone came to you and helped you through a crisis or a time of crisis. Christ Church has been a leader for a long time in the divorce ministry and in the widow-widower ministry. Christ Church has helped thousands of people over the last 40 years in dealing with the loss of someone through death or divorce. As you have seen in the newsletter and announcements, we're having a service of remembrance next Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Holt Chapel. And also, we will begin Grief Share on Thursday, June 9th. The first session will be an informational meeting. The 13-week sessions will then begin the following Thursday on June 16th. These will be helpful if you are grieving a loss of a loved one. We all need support. For a lot of you, your Sunday school class brings you support. Our congregational care team does a great job of helping you through a time of grief or distress. For those who have addiction, CR is a great resource for you to check out. As of now, we don't have CR, but there are many groups that are meeting in Tulsa that you can attend. We also have Hurting Parents for those who struggle with family issues. You can also get professional counseling if that is something that is needed. All this to say, you don't have to go through your troubles alone. When dealing with a loss, some people quote Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." If you've just gone through a loss or tragedy, this verse can give you comfort, but it can also get you upset. I have heard people say that they don't understand why a certain situation can have happened and how in the world God can make something good out of it. I do understand how difficult understanding this could be for you. That's when you need to trust God and to know that he does work out all things for the good of those who love him. God can also use your pain to help others. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Yes, God can use our pain to help others. Many organizations have been started because of a tragedy. Christ Church started Phoenix and the Widow-Widower programs due to pain. I came to Christ Church in the early 90s because of a divorce. This ministry helped me work through my loss and my divorce, and I am standing here today as a pastor because of it. I also met and married Barbara here at Christ Church. So yes, if you let God, he can work things out for you. It might not be exactly what you expect, but he will. Please know that God loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, and he is close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. He will comfort you and give you hope and a future if you put your trust in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of mercy and grace, we give you thanks for your wonderful word. We give you thanks for the comfort that you have for us as we deal with life's challenges. Help us to remember to praise you, Lord, to seek you in prayer, and to taste and see that you are a good God. Help us to remember that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us on the cross, and that you are near the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. Help us, O Lord, to keep our focus on you so that we have joy in your perfect peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Дона, но... some